The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Friday the 27th of May 2022. This is episode 212, the podcast of choice for former IWGP World Heavyweight Champions and faction leaders who are receiving medical treatment. Who'd have thought? I mean, I was wondering when I saw that clip, would I listen to a podcast that talks about my workplace and critically assess the professional performances of me and my colleagues? I was just imagining what that might sound like. You know, I'm not going to out the place where I work, but let's discuss Joel's maths lesson about pie charts. The formative assessment was on point. The behavior management was terrific, but I think he could have done better with the differentiation. 3.5 stars for that class. We've also got some scoops here that Year 6 are going to be expanded from 2-form entry to 3-form next year. I mean, I think I probably would listen to that, as long as there were lots of crisp talk and dick jokes to go with it.
I mean, everything's better with dick jokes and crisp, right? No, there's nothing that could be better. You'd be like, I'm going to disagree with you, Joel. That fucking shirt he was wearing was just disgusting. It was terrible. It was a piece of, I don't know what he was thinking when he woke up and got out of bed. His wife made him leave the house with that shirt on? You got to be kidding me. Wow. Riveting. Yeah, it was funny. I thought that was because was it you that sent it to me? And I just thought it was just like an image. And I was like, oh, okay, he's getting treatment, whatever. But it didn't occur to me to press on it. It is a multimedia file. And I was like, that's fucking you. What? I mean, seriously, he's like, you know what? I got to get this IV in me. I got to get some fluids and this kidney problem. It might be serious soon. So I think I just need to resit and relax and let the medicine do its work. Let me see here. Let me go through my phone here. I could listen to this album. Okay. I could listen to this audiobook. No, Super J-Cash seems like a great thing to listen to as I'm getting this fluid pumped into me. That didn't sound good at all, did it?
Did I tell you what I was listening to when I was getting my vasectomy?
What was that?
I was listening to the Voices of Wrestling flagship. I was listening to Joe Lanza discussing Cody Rhodes leaving for WWE. Of course, I was getting all mutilated. Right.
As you get your fucking nut snipped. Wow. I did not know that. Well, I had to have a medical procedure before and a surgery, and they had to stick the fucking catheter in, but they had to take it out. And it was like 2:00 in the fucking morning, and I listened to what? It was Motley Crue with Looks That Kill. I popped in my earbuds and I was on my headphones or whatever the fuck I was wearing at the time. And I told the nurse, I was like, please be quick. Please handle with care. And then she joked and she was like, well, there really wasn't a lot of tube in that fucking cock of yours, if that's what you want to call it. It's fucking embarrassing. That's not true. That didn't happen at all. But that did pull. She just fucking banged it right out. I was like, oh, we're done? She's like, yep, we're done. Motley Crue, Looks That Kill. So every time I think of it, I think of a tube coming out my pee hole.
Yeah, so listeners, get in touch with us if you listen to the Super J Cast whilst you're receiving medical treatment, and let's know how it went. Hopefully provided you some solace or distracted you or annoyed you so much that it took your mind off whatever was being done to you.
That's our goal, right? That's our goal. I always love it when people comment that they're entertained and they're enjoying their commute or whatever the case may be. More than I do when we fucking nailed. Oh, that was my phone. When we nailed the scoops with a Z, right? It always makes me feel better. Although I do take great joy when we are fucking right and we shut all those, as you like to say, pea brains. That was the funniest fucking thing. When you wrote pea brains, I almost fucking died laughing. It was great. Pea brains. I said it all day today.
Yeah, so this is all the great O'Card stuff that was coming out yesterday. And yeah, it was amazing, Damon, because there's people, I'm not going to name names here, but there are people in this internet wrestling community of ours who will throw takes out there and often just dig their heels in and refuse to back down and will argue about it for hours and hours and hours. But not yesterday, not when it came to Great O'Card. There were three separate instances of three people who are notorious at that, who threw their Great O'Khan take out there and just got so absolutely dogpiled for the Great O'Khan fan club that they just deleted their tweets. They were just like, oh, fuck, this isn't worth it. They backed down, which was incredible.
But you know what, though? Yeah. No, okay, I was going to say, look, that's good, though. They throw in the towel. Fine. Delete the fucking tweet. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with deleting the tweet. There's nothing wrong with deleting the tweet. If in fact, you know, well, I'm on a fucking island with this dopey opinion, delete the tweet. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You know what it is? That someone said on our Discord, I apologize, I can't remember who it was, but they said this is the real sign that New Japan Pro Wrestling is back, when there's people throwing out bad takes, dog shit opinions that are like 2 years old, but digging their heels in and just regurgitating stuff that other people have said because they're not actually watching the product. So when I saw that, I was just like, you know what? They're right. New Japan's back. Because this is predicated by Khan on the Cob making an appearance on AEW Dynamite, which I thought was really cool and exciting. I love that. I think they're going to do great there. I think they're going after the ROH tag team titles. And then the photos emerging from and videos from Great O'Khan's big night out in Las Vegas, where he's getting spanked in a novelty restaurant. He's stuffing his face with burgers. He looks like he was having a good time with a couple of
two young ladies
there on the street. Yeah, riding an enormous mechanical penis. He's just having the time of his life there, wasn't he?
His face on that. First of all, let's say you own an establishment, Joel, maybe a bar or a nightclub, and you're like, you know what? What would bring in the people? A mechanical bull? We need more than that. How about a mechanical bull that's actually a penis? That's what we. But his face, O'Khan's face, like he's holding on to this. He's sitting on. It's a mechanical bull. If you haven't seen it, it's a mechanical bull, like you would see in a honky tonk type bar. But it's a penis. It's a gigantic penis. And he's like wrapped around it. And his face is hilarious. Yeah, he's having the time of his life. Like, he's doing it fucking right. Like, he's just, I don't know. Maybe, look, you, sometimes you, the fucking madness finds you. You know what I mean? Sometimes you wherever you turn, the madness is there. He's finding the madness. Like, it's fucking, like, and he's loving it. He's loving life. Ah, I couldn't be happier for the guy. That was fun, though, on AEW. That was pretty good. It definitely surprised me. I did not hear of any whispers of that. But that's, look, if anything, pro wrestling right now is so exciting because I say this with all sincerity. You have no fucking idea who's going to show up week to week. You know what I mean? Like, it's really fun. It is. This is what we want. And imagine when it's vice versa, when it's the other way around and people are showing up. I'm telling you, we are in a, we're back. I hate to beat that dead horse, but we're back. We are back.
That is right. And we might be back all the way, Damien, because according to Kevin Kelly, he's pretty adamant that cheering is going to be allowed in time for the Best of the Super Juniors final. So Louis says, if there was any doubt New Japan can't deliver, the Korakuen Hall shows are proof. The crowd has been as close to cheering crowds as we've gotten. How sweet is the Best of the Super Juniors final going to be if crowds can cheer again?
Yeah. I tell you, I feel bad for the people who attended those Korakuen shows, because they wanted, there were many times where they wanted to just let it out. You can only stomp and clap so much. Your hands start to swell. They wanted it. So yeah, hopefully, look, not hopefully, it's coming. It's right around the corner. Every indicator is, I mean, there's a possibility that it could happen for a final. I think right now, if you were a betting man, I think G1's going to have some fucking cheering. That's fantastic news. And I can't believe that it's taken, what, over 2 years? But yeah, it's finally happened. We're excited about people being able to cheer. But here's the thing too. As silly as that sounds, it really is true. Like, I'm excited for those people that can finally cheer. And when it happens, whew, it's going to be great. It's going to be it will be great. It will be great.
Also saw some news here that Gabe Kidd is back in Rev Pro, so good to see him back in action. Hopefully he's managed to get himself happy and healthy again. Rob says, what do you think the plans will be for Gabe Kidd after his return to action in Rev Pro, or do you think he's going to stay in the UK for a while?
I think he should stay as close to home as possible. And I'm going to say this with sincerity in my heart and all the love I can give the guy. It's good to get back in the ring. Absolutely. Do something that you love, 1,000%. Let's not just jump into the deep end of the pool, right? Let's take our time, right? Because, you know, it's great that you're back in the ring. Love it. Love to see it. Very good. Good for everyone. But, don't put too much pressure on yourself to get back to where you were quicker than you're ready to. That's the best advice I can give. Don't put any additional pressure on yourself to get back to a spot that you might have been at that you might not be ready to. Work at your own pace. So I was happy for him, but I'm not going to lie. There was a piece of me in the back of my head that said, okay, like, I mean, you're an adult, you can make these decisions, but I hope that you had some discussion with someone about those decisions to make sure it's the right decision. So there you go. That's my mental health hot take.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure he would be very, very happy to get back to, whether it's the US if he's working strong, or back to Japan to get back in the thick of things. I'm sure he'd be really happy to do that, but like you said, I think he should take it slow. There's no rush. Don't throw himself into any positions that he might get overwhelmed in, because it's a lot dealing with all of that. So just to make sure he's in the right place before he's all ready to do that. One other thing I wanted to touch on before we get into Best of the Super Juniors is Kota Ibushi. And usual, I know. But I do have actually something to say about this. So trigger warnings, suicide, all of that stuff. I was intending to steer well clear of this story, because aside from the tweets, there's not really that much to discuss until we hear something from New Japan or there's some actual litigation involved. But I will say this, it is time to once again throw some flowers at the great Booze Leprechaun, the one and only Ibushi scholar, who I think cracked this thing wide open in terms of thinking about the motivations, because there are accusations from some sections of the fandom that, you know, Ibushi's a troublemaker or he's suffering from schizophrenia or whatever. So Booze, first of all, pointed me in the direction of this 2019 documentary on New Japan World that was uploaded just before Wrestle Kingdom 14, I think. It was Japanese only, no subtitles, so Booz was probably the only person who watched it. And in it, you can see Ibushi returning to his family home, which is basically his mother has converted into like a little museum or a shrine in dedication to all of Ibushi's achievements. There's like, you know, posters of him everywhere, pictures, trophies, all of his wonderful accomplishments. And you can see she's so proud of him and that his success in New Japan means the world to her. And we know from interviews that he's got an older brother as well, but the parts of the house that you can see, there's no sign of the brother. It's all Ibushi mainly, or the father. They interview her, and it's clear that Ibushi and his success over the years has become like the focal point in her life. And there's another point, Ibushi cries when he talks about what he would say to his mother after he potentially wins the IWGP title. So I think that's the context we need when we understand this story, because Booz then went to work out the timeline, looking at the tweets and the dates, the references, which tells us, I think, exactly what's happened. Because to put it in perspective, this is not Ibushi getting in trouble at work and then throwing his toys out of the pram with those tweets. Because according to what he said, based on the references to Mother's Day, this is what's happened. So he got those line messages from Kikuchi threatening his job, told his mother about them. Then his mother says, oh, you know, it's okay, you can quit, but is obviously quite upset about it. And then the next day, his mother attempts suicide. Then the day after that, he starts tweeting and dropping all these bombs. I mean, there's a few things that don't quite add up with the tone of the tweets, but it does make more sense than it did before. Like, you can see why he starts showing receipts a day after his mother tried to end her own life, because she was so heartbroken about him being bullied or fired from this company. That's the one thing he's ever wanted to do and the one thing that she's incredibly proud of. So, you know, the way that Kota Ibushi sees it, these guys in the office have led to him almost losing his mother. And I'm not saying they intended to do that, obviously, whether and also the question of whether her reaction is a healthy and reasonable thing to do, that's another discussion for another time. There are certainly other issues going on. But either way, it just seems like Ibushi doesn't give a fuck anymore. He's got nothing left to lose. So bravo to Booz for figuring all that out. And when you understand all of that, you can see that it's not as simple as just, oh, just quit, go work somewhere else. You know, it seems to me that he's out for blood. Like, there's no way he's going to go back to work for them while guys like Kikuchi and Obari, the people he thinks are responsible for his mother's suffering, haven't even apologized to him, apparently. So, you know, I'm not even saying who I think is right or wrong, because we don't have the details. We've only got one side of this. I'm just sharing Booz's theory as to how it got to this point. And while I'm at it, let's just say one thing. Can we stop with the Golden Lovers fan fiction?
Oh, yeah.
When you actually understand the situation Ibushi is in, you can see how saying something like, oh, Kenny-chan, go and save Ibu-chan, bring him over to AEW, is wrong and unhelpful on many, many levels, right? This is a 40-year-old man dealing with a very serious and upsetting situation. So stop it, please. He's not Princess Peach stuck in the castle. He's not waiting to be rescued. Grow up. These are real people with real problems. They're not part of your elaborate shipping fantasies. And anyway, Ibushi's done with being infantilized. He says he's got two lawyers. He says more will be coming, but he's focused on his mother's care first. He's talking about wanting to stop this practice of workplace bullying, pressuring people to wrestle while they're hurt so he can protect and ensure the future of wrestling. And look, if anyone can go on a crusade like this, it's him. So as much as I love Kota Ibushi, the wrestler, and I love New Japan, Team Ibushi, workplace crusader. I'm all in favor of it.
Yeah, we're like in like serious areas here, right? This is not a pro wrestling story, hardly anymore. It has gotten to a totally unfortunate level. From a pro wrestling perspective. Like, and who gives a shit? It's hard to believe that. And I sat here and I said, well, I think anything could be handled with a conversation. I think we're beyond that. I think knowing what we may know and what sounds like we do know, this is not a repairable situation. It feels like this, him coming back to New Japan. To me, I don't know how that gets reconciled. I don't know. I don't see it happening. That aside, what a I don't know if anyone, including this show, can sit here and speculate on what is going through that man's head. When and if that is accurate of the timeline, you know, you can't, you don't know what's in the man's head, and to speculate like the, you know, of schizophrenia or what, just don't do that. And I'm not going to tell people what to do, but I'm telling you what to do. Don't do that. It's not your place. I wish there was a way your phone could sense that you are in a unhealthy state of mind and will not allow you to access Wi-Fi or something along those lines. Because he's going to be judged by those tweets and comments. Like, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we're sitting here talking about the Yakuza's involvement in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And, like...
Alleged.
Right. But those things stay. And him, you know, trying to burn down whatever relationship that he had because of the situation that he was in with his mother, it's... Here's what I'm going to say. I think in hindsight, I would regret sending those texts. I find it hard to believe that New Japan would have known that it would have gotten to this degree. And I don't know if New Japan has reached out. I don't know if New Japan has been in contact. Apparently, they have not been in any communication except via line. But we don't know. And we are getting one side of the story, and it's a horrific side of the story. I just... Like, when we're in an area outside of, oh, this guy wants to leave a wrestling company. I mean, you would agree with that, right, Joel?
Yeah. This has got extremely personal, and I think it sounds from what Ibushi's saying, he's not really interested in getting in the ring anymore. He feels it's bigger than that, and he's got a bigger purpose than that.
That's a shame, because not only did he love doing what he did, but he also, I'm sure, loved making his mom happy doing what he did. And the mom was you know, obviously so proud of her son. But this relationship is dead. I cannot see it. How do you patch up something like this? It's impossible. I just don't see it happening. So I would not be surprised if this is the last we see of Kota Ibushi in New Japan.
All right. Well, let's move on to Best of the Super Juniors then. I've got some notes here from friend of the show, Jay Michael, who has given us some stats. Apparently the match times are way down, but the number of match ratings on the Grapple app has gone way up. So there's more people watching it. The actual number of the ratings themselves is slightly down. So two possible factors here. So maybe, like, my theory is previously people actually watching these matches and entering the ratings was mainly, you know, us Shin Nihon freaks rating it higher than the casual fan who dropped out. That could be part of it. I think people underestimate and maybe didn't largely get to watch, you know, just how smooth and familiar that core roster of Japan-based junior heavyweights were. You know, when you had those 10 or 12 guys from 2020 to 2021, like, they knew each other inside out. They were really fluid with each other. They wrestled each other a ton. But now it's a very different tournament, isn't it? We've expanded to 20. We've got lots of first-time matches. There are guys that are not so familiar with the New Japan style, whatever that is. Lots of younger wrestlers. So the matches, we're seeing some kind of like feeling out process, and it's very, very interesting to watch. And just looking at the Twitter in general, it seems like a lot of these guys are really connecting on a personal level. They've really managed to get themselves over with the fans. And for me, this tour, it's less about star ratings and match of the year candidates as it is seeing new names, fresh names, fun matchups, and things starting to get back to normal. It's been like just a really fun, breezy tournament to watch. I'm not saying that everything has been super highly rated and everything is must-see. I would say there is one stand-up match, which is a match of the year candidate, which we're going to get onto later. But, you know, just silly little things like seeing Ace Austin and Alex Zane having yakiniku together. It just makes me smile. It's like they're having a blast. And, of course, we'll come on and talk about those wrestlers specifically. But just that kind of stuff has made this tournament incredibly fun to watch. So what are your sort of big picture thoughts on Best of Super Juniors as a whole?
I think this is, quite honestly, maybe the most fun that I've had following and watching this tournament in just about all my years. And fun doesn't necessarily equal the best, but I think you nailed it. When there's a certain level of reconnecting with fans that I think New Japan has done a remarkable job of. I think the wrestlers themselves, and again, I'm not the biggest fan of wrestlers on social media, but let's be truthful here. I think every one of them, especially some of the newer guys that are over, have done an outstanding job just kind of carving out their own voice, if you will, of their experiences on this tour. I think Kevin Kelly has done an outstanding job of helping, and Chris Trump have done an outstanding job of piecing pieces of the puzzle together to help fans reconnect. And it starts here, right? It starts with people writing reviews and talking about it and getting people interested. Now, again, that's not our job per se, right? If it's not good, we're going to tell you it's not good. If it's great, we're going to tell you it's great. That's what this show is. But if you get enough people and enough different people, different voices, saying all relatively the same thing in the sense of this has been a fun fucking tournament with a good smattering of good to great matches, people are going to tune in. Like if you're a pro wrestling fan, that's going to raise an eyebrow. Oh, this is good. Oh, this lineup. Okay. And I think there's been little building blocks because I think when they first announced the lineup, Joel, I think people were excited. And again, the ideas of different guys from different promotions and champions from different promotions. Who's going to lie down to who? What's A block going to look like? What's B block going to look like?
Yeah, Manabu said it had the sort of like early Super J Cup flavor where you've got representation, like the best of the best from all these different tournaments, all these different promotions.
Absolutely. So I think that was the first step, right? They had a really solid lineup. They did a great job building the anticipation. And again, they've done everything in their power, wrestlers and promotion included, to help foster that reconnection. I couldn't be more happy for what I'm seeing and what's happening right now with New Japan. I couldn't be more happier with that product that we're seeing in these past couple weeks.
All right, well, let's get into talking about the wrestlers then. A block, so sitting at the top, we have Ace Austin, who has 10 points. He is a guy who a lot of us are just discovering now. This is the first time I've watched him wrestle, and all the Impact fans are coming in saying, yeah, we knew it. We told you he was good. And yeah, this is a massive victory lap for them. And a guy who I think just fits like a glove. He fits that New Japan Junior style match, you know, the main event style match. He's got innovative offense. The crowd seem really into him. Along with Alex Zane, he's done a great job getting the fans invested in him. Just the stuff like, again, using Japanese, eating out, taking selfies, putting them on social media, stuff like that. It all makes a difference. It helps build that personal connection. And you can tell that he's over now because in last night's show from Korakuen, when they put up the match graphic of him against Ishimori, you could hear audible, oh, you know, people were excited about that match. And people are into him. He's cocky. He's stylish. He's got that sort of comic book anti-hero aesthetic. And honestly, I think this guy is a future IWGP junior heavyweight champion. I think he's that good. And I think he's definitely going to get that call back. So if we're giving all these wrestlers a letter grade for how well they've done, he is getting an A from me. A for Ace, because I think he's been tremendous. And in terms of his prospects for the rest of the tournament, Liam from the Discord has helped me with the outcomes here. So Ace Austin, he's in control of his own destiny. If he wins two out of his next three matches, he's got Sho, Taguchi, and Akira next. If he wins two of the three, then he's in. Ishimori can't pass him. Hiromu can't catch him if he hits 14 points. So he's most likely going to be losing two of his next three matches, probably his next two matches, then maybe beating Akira on the final night to be in the mix. But tremendous work so far from Ace Austin.
I would agree with your letter. Your letter grade, I would give him an A as well. I love the fact that New Japan has the guts to... Like, we were all skeptical just because of the, and I'll put in air quotes, the relationship with Noah of how well are these guys going to be treated in the sense of wins and losses. Now, again, do I expect him to be in the finals? No. He pinned, I mean, I don't want to give away a spoiler, but if you haven't watched it, I'm sorry. We do a show talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, he pinned Ishimori. I don't know what more you could ask for, you know, from a guy coming in. It's I like the fact that New Japan has the balls to allow these guys to make names for themselves, right? Because it's only going to help everyone in the long run. Which was a good match, by the way, just FYI. Yeah. He's taken to it. You could see that he's having a fucking blast. He's loving life. It's really it's enjoyable to see. And again, I like the fact that this is an outside promotion that's kind of taking care of their champion. That's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's showing that New Japan can play nice when they want to. And yeah, I mean, they've had their backs to their wall over the last couple of years and business is down. So now I think they have to mend those relationships. And I think this Ace Austin booking and this Best of the Super Junior shows that it's working so far between New Japan and Impact. So let's talk now about Taiji Ishimori, who has 8 points. And he, I think we conclusively can say, he is not dogging it. He's working really hard, particularly in the matches where he's trying to get new people over. The Alex Zane match, the Ace Austin match, he worked his socks off there to make those guys look good. And yeah, he's going for the mostly sort of shoulder-based offense, but you cannot fault the work rate, in my opinion. And look, this is a guy who is getting on in his years. He's not the guy that he was 10 years ago. So I think you could certainly forgive him for phoning it in now and then because he's got to take care of his own body. But I don't really think you can accuse him of doing that in this tournament. Even the Sho match, I thought that was really funny. I think Ishimori is a guy who's very underrated on the funny faces. I love that Kanemaru beat him again. And I'm actually genuinely annoyed that Ishimori actually managed to finally get a win over Kanemaru in that meaningless New Japan Cup match. Was it? No, 2 years ago. Right, can we say that's non-canon, please? Can we say that he's never beaten Kanemaru in front of fans? Because that one annoys me, because I love the fact that every year he turns up to this tournament and Kanemaru fucking outmaneuvers him, outsmarts him, and gets a W on him. So if I'm giving Ishimori a grade, I'll give him a B+. Because I think he's been really good so far. I think he's represented the championship well, because obviously he's the title holder and he's done a good job in helping other people look good as well. He's on 8 points. Next three matches, he's got Clark, Akira, and then Hiromu on the final night, which you'd imagine is going to be a decisive one. He's got a tiebreaker over Alex Zane. He has to pass Ace Austin to win the block, not tie him because of the head-to-heads, because he lost to Ace Austin. So he's got to win at least two of those three matches if Ace loses out, or he's got to win all three of his matches if Ace wins one of the next three. But either way, you'd expect Ishimori to be a contender coming into that final night.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him go, you know, sweep the table. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to go with just a smidge lower. I'll give him a B, a solid B. I think the criticism that he gets really doesn't stick with him in this tournament. I do agree that he's had his working boots on. He has done his best to have others shine at his expense in some cases. I'm not the fan of the funny faces. I would be very happy to not see a funny face in pro wrestling again, especially a New Japan ring. And we're setting up some challengers, right? That's what we wanted from whoever was holding a title. Yeah, set up some future challenges. So I think it's a win all the way around. But I would not be surprised if he runs the table here and clean sweeps with wins from here on out.
Alex Zane also has 8 points. The zest of the Source Juniors. I mean, talk about a guy exceeding expectations the most, I think, out of anyone. It's Alex Zane, because when his name came up, a lot of people were surprised. I'm like, oh, that guy, really? For Best of the Super Juniors? And a lot of talk, oh, you know, he's just a bit of a spot monkey, prone to the occasional botch. But we haven't seen any of that here, right? The fans absolutely adore this guy. He has set the bar for engaging with the culture. He's the first guy who did it, the first guy who was tweeting in Japanese, the first guy who was out there eating natto and really engaging with the culture. I mean, he's been in Japan before. This is not his first time. But he's really captured people's imagination. He's got his own catchphrase, itadakimasu, at the end of all his promos. The kids love him. I've seen tweets with Japanese fans saying, oh, my little daughter loves watching you. You're a new favorite. There's all the fan art for him. Taco Bell Japan are reaching out there, going back and forth. And in the ring, all of his matches have been very good. There have been no botches. It's all been smooth. He's perfect for that opening match, that sort of high-paced, flippy-do match to get the crowd excited. And him and Ace Austin have done a great job getting over their little bromance, the Zest Friends, as I have called it, right? It was me who came up with that first. So if it takes off, I'm claiming the credit for it. You're
but
welcome.
But Joel, they can't say our names.
Can't say our name. There's been a mandate from on top. Super J-Cast cannot be mentioned on any broadcast. So if you're wondering, I did enjoy that. I love Booze Leprechaun getting the shout out. She deserves it. But they were like, oh, Booze Leprechaun from the
Discord.
The Discord. Incredible stuff.
I really was. I was so disappointed. But okay, but let me agree with just about every fucking point you made, right? A, there was no one on planet Earth that thought he was going to do as well as he has. From not only a pro wrestling tournament point perspective, but match quality. And don't hand wave the idea of this guy not only enjoying his time there, but sharing that with a Japanese audience and, you know, a Western audience as well, because we're living through that. Well, like, we see that and we want that. Like, that's a good thing. Like, that doesn't give him extra points in the ring. He's earned those points. Like his matches have been very good. But that just gives it a little extra flavor, a little cherry on top, that he wants to be there, right? And I'm sure that everyone could come up with a list of guys that are there to cash a paycheck or to get a payday or whatever the case may be. And that's not saying he's not, and he's fucking – And excuse me for using pro wrestling vernacular, but he's marking out to being in Japan.
Yeah, look at Flip Gordon. When Flip Gordon went over there, matches were fine. I thought his performances were fine, but he turned up, he did his matches, and he left. And in between that, there was bitching on Twitter about how he can't find chicken in Tokyo. So you compare that experience with what Alex Zane is doing, and you can see why he has captured the imagination and everyone's forgotten about Flip Gordon.
Right. 1,000%. That's it in a nutshell. What would you rather have? You know, Flip Gordon? No, right. I think we're winning and making out just fine with what we got right now.
And like, talking about the Zest Friends, his little buddy partnership with Ace Austin, their match together was really good as well. But I think they should be in the junior tag mix in the future. I think they should be winning the Super Junior Tag League. That to me, that's your Wrestle Kingdom opening match. It should be Alex Zane and Ace Austin challenging TJP and Francesco Akira for junior tag titles. What a great opening that would be. Give them 15 minutes, let them go out there, do all their shit. It will be amazing. And honestly, I think by this tour alone, Alex Zane may have made himself a New Japan mainstay. He's been that good. So I'd give him an A-minus grade. I think he's been tremendous. So yeah, he's on 8 points. He doesn't have the tiebreaker over Ishimori or Austin. His next three matches are Hiromu, Yo, and Clark Connors on the final night. So he's got to get 14 points, and Ace would have to win one out of the three, Taiji Ishimori wins two out of the three, or he has to get to 12 points and Ace Austin loses out, or Ishimori only wins one out of three. So Gig says, in regards to Alex Zane's offense, if you guys were wrestlers and had signature moves named after fast food menu items, what would they be? Multiverse A says, who is enjoying themselves the most? Us watching this year's Fest of the Super Juniors tournament, Zest Friends with their travels in Japan, or Okan experiencing Las Vegas?
it's a tie, because it's exactly the same, but in reverse, you know, flip-flopped, you know. Okan loving the perverted American lifestyle, the nightlife, and just the opposite for those guys. So yeah, I mean, it's fun to see. What would be my finisher?
Do you have a favorite fast food item that you would name a finishing move after?
It's got to be Big Mac, right? It's got to be Big Mac.
Big Mac. Well, I mean, you're Damon McDonald. It'll work, wouldn't
right.
it?
Come on. How about you?
For me? I should really should have thought about this beforehand.
Peri-peri.
Peri-peri, yeah. Well, that would be stealing someone else's, wouldn't it?
Cheeky.
Maybe something like the one chip challenge. It's got to be something chili related, hasn't it? Some sort of Carolina Reaper based.
Carolina Reaper's not a bad one, right?
Yeah, technically not a fast. I'm sure there are some fast food items that claim to be named after that. Maybe the one chip challenge. I think that'd have to be it.
I have good news for you too, Joel.
Yeah?
Two blocks away from my hotel in Chicago, Nando's.
Oh, have you had it before?
No.
Oh, we got to have it then.
Yeah. I'm going to lean on you heavy on what I got to get. But yeah, I'm excited.
Okay. Well, British-based listeners or anyone who's tried Nando's, get in touch. Tell us, what should Damon order?
I'll get one of everything. I'll fucking live stream it. No, I won't do that. But you know what I mean.
All right. Next up, we got Hiromu Takahashi, who has taken a bit of a backseat in this Best of the Super Juniors. He's lost three in a row for all these Korakuen shows, and he's playing out this story of the knee injury where Kanemaru basically destroyed him, and then he's lost to Yo and he's lost to Sho. So he is not being featured as prominently and heavily as he has been in the past, which I think is probably a good move. I think it's a good choice for him to step back and let some of these other guys get some of the shine and get some of the spotlight. So if I'm giving him a letter grade, I'd give him a B. I think all of his matches have been good, but there's been nothing that's been standout. Whoa, you got to see this Hiromu match. So he's on 6 points. He's got a tiebreaker over Ace Austin. He's not faced Ishimori or Zane yet. His next few matches are Zane, Clark Connors, and then Ishimori on the final night. So he would need to win out and need Ace Austin to lose two of his three matches. So yeah, he's facing both Ishimori and Zane. He needs Ishimori to go at best one out of three, Zane at best two out of three, and then beat both of them. If he loses, he's done. So it's hard to bet against him, really. I mean, if the story is going to be, oh, he's got this knee injury, but he manages to overcome the odds and get through to the final, that wouldn't shock me. Again, I think we're looking at this Ishimori-Hiromu match on the final day being a decisive one.
I still think so. I still think that's the case. 2 points. One, it is refreshing to see not only Hiromu willing to take a backseat, but again, New Japan, the junior division, let's be honest here, before this tournament might have been the stale it's been in quite a long time. And all these new fresh faces and new potential matchups, man, it's really fucking exciting. But that comes at a cost, and it's not a big cost because, again, I think Hiromu is Teflon. Like, just flick the switch and we're ready to go. But again, the fact that he's willing to take a little bit of a backseat to let others shine, at least in the beginning. I think he's in the mix toward the end. But, let's put it this way. I like the fact that they're working the knee injury. They're incorporating it in every match. Sho didn't surprise me as much as Yo, but I did like the tap out to Sho. I actually did. And even though it was, a little heel move, I did dig that. I did dig the fact that they're willing to go that far to make this comeback story a decent comeback story, if in fact we're accurate in our predictions.
So next up, we have Yo. Ooh, we have a lot to say about Yo. So I think the work has been good. Like, the matches have been good. The Hiromu main event was very, very good in terms of the in-ring quality. But the big problem, like, we know he's a good wrestler. We know this. For me, it's the gimmick. Like, it's a big emotional disconnect for me. I don't think it's connecting with the Japanese fans either, according to Andrew, who was in the building yesterday. And I don't really think people are into this. It's I said this on Twitter. He's like an AS level art coursework student. He's like, this is a high school art project guy. And Manabu sent me something which just made me spit out my tea. He said, Yo's promo was depressing, like Radiohead's song. He should use theme song like Paranoid Android. So, yeah, I mean, this is the aesthetic I'm getting, like sort of a vaguely depressed young artist more than a wrestler. It's unique. I mean, the promo was unique. Doesn't get me out of my seat, though. I mean, Arametha on the Discord said, can you talk about Yo's post-match promo after his win against Hiromu? I thought it was touching. I mean, he was certainly lampshading himself. He basically said, I know that I'm boring, but that's who I am. I'm a boring man. I have the right to be boring, which was interesting, but not necessarily something that makes me want to jump out of my seat and cheer for him. I think he needs something, maybe a fresh coat of paint, maybe a heel turn. Maybe he should join House of Torture and reform that tag team with Show. Who knows? But if I'm given a letter grade, it's a C for Yo. Like I said, he's on 6 points. He's got Taguchi, Zayn, and Show on the final night. He's probably spoiling Show again, or Show will be spoiling him. It's going to be one or the other, I think. I'm not sure either of those guys are getting through to the final.
I think the biggest problem is that nobody cares about him. And it's hard to care about him just in the way that he's been positioned. And yet they still kind of put him in a position to shine. I don't know if you know this, but he's a professional wrestler. And to have a promo of that caliber of, yeah, I'm boring, you know, whatever. Okay. I mean, I know it's a promo, but it's like, why would you even say that? Like, do you think he's happy being where he is right now? Do you think, does he look like a guy that's, and again, if this is all just a part of his gimmick that old man Damon has no fucking idea what's going on. Okay, great. That wouldn't be the first time. Do you think he likes what he's doing right now?
Not based on that promo. There was a level of self-awareness there, which seemed to acknowledge that he knew it wasn't working. It wasn't connecting with people.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So how do you, people do it all the time. I mean, you punch in, you punch out, you know, you just try and get through 8 fucking hours. But like, I almost feel bad for him. Like, I almost feel sad for him. Because you're right, he kind of, and again, if this is a gimmick that I don't understand, great. Maybe someone can enlighten me. I just don't, like, what is anyone's connection with that? I'm boring. You're a pro wrestler. Like, you could be anybody. Like, yo, you could be anybody. Like, that's the magic.
You know what they say, pro wrestler, like, is you take yourself, but multiply by 11. So he's done that. But if you multiply 0 by 11, you still get 0.
That's the truth. I mean, I hate to be that guy, but that's the truth. Wasn't he the guy that was talking about poop? Wasn't he the poop guy?
Yes, yeah.
All right, lean into that. Be the poop guy. I don't know. It can't be any worse than what we got right now. Be poopy, yo. That's terrible. That's a
yo,
terrible
poopy pants.
Yes. Yes. Come on. He comes out with a stool. He sits on the stool. Get it? A stool. Get it? Fuck me. They don't get any better, guys.
Okay, let's talk about who's next on my list. Show. I want to let you go first, Damon, and then we'll have an argument. what do you think of Show?
I'm not the biggest fan, and you know that. That being said, I don't think he's had a bad showing. I don't like the funny faces. I don't like the gimmick. I don't like the fact that I know that there's so much more that he could be doing.
What do you think of the Taguchi match specifically?
The ass and the...
with a curtain staff, the banana at the ends.
I honestly thought that it was kind of creative.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was silly, but here's the thing too. Everybody had to be in on that. You know what I mean? Like that was a group effort of like that one shot where it was like, you know, that kind of, I don't even know what you would call it from a cinematography perspective, but like the over the shoulder of the banana, if a banana had a shoulder.
Well, it was recreating that famous shot at the end of Dominion 2018.
Right.
With the Okada dollar as Kenny Omega celebrating Correct. With the title.
Right. Like to me, I feel like there was a lot more hands in it than just two guys in a ring. Like people had to be fucking clued. Like, here's the thing. Why would they take that fucking shot? If they didn't, you know what I mean? They had to be clued in. But
did it make you laugh?
It did. I'm not going to lie. It did. Just the preposterousness of it. Yes. And the fact that it was them doing that. And again, the Okada shot is so iconic. And it's so like it hits every New Japan fan right in the fucking feels. And he did it with a fucking banana. It is silly.
You're coming around. You're coming on to Team Show. You're getting there.
We got a long way to go. But and again, listen. If there is concrete proof that Show came into Cork and Hall with, listen, I got this fucking harebrained idea, but stay with me here, right? Like if that were the case, I'd be in. Like I give Taguchi more credit. You know what I mean? I give Taguchi more credit.
What about when he stuck his head through the curtain and his head's going up and down and the tea banging? So you're laughing. You're laughing. You're enjoying it. This is my thing, right? Hello. Good morning, darling. I think Sho is now, he's the funniest wrestler in New Japan. He's funnier than Taguchi. He's funnier than Yano. And look, House of Torture, for all the bitching people do about them, they are now a mid-card heel comedy act. And they're great. For that spot, they're great. They always put a smile on their face. That match made me piss myself. The Ishimori match itself was very funny. But the Taguchi match, that was legit the funniest New Japan match I've ever seen. I cannot think of a funnier one. I was howling. Like I had it on the TV in our house. And I was laughing and Mally was looking at it. And she was like, what the fuck are you watching? This is the thing that you do podcasts about. And I was like, tears in my eyes. I was like, yes, it is. Like the curtain bits, the banana spot. Like that banana spot had been set up for months with the wrench. For months, Show has been going to that bag. And you see the camera zooms into the bag. And he takes out the wrench. And then he attacks him with it. And then him taking out the banana and the face that he did. He's like, absolutely horrified. He's like, waving this banana around. It was amazing. It was the ultimate comedy payoff because it had just been set up so carefully. And look, Show, you can tell he's more comfortable. He's enjoying himself. He's mixing up creatively. And I enjoy all of his goons running in to help him win and the lights going off and his delusional promos where he thinks he's won all the matches. And little things like when he came out yesterday for the Hiromu match, and he was just sort of bopping to his music, and then he just opened his mouth. He did a big, like, big wide mouth, like, oh, when part of his music dropped. And just little things like that. It just makes me think he gets it now. And to me, he's more interesting than when he was doing that Roppongi 3K, the mini Shingo act. And he's mixing up the shenanigans. There's the old big power move too. You know, he will be fucking about, and then he'll just, you know, drop someone on their head with a big suplex. And I think that creates good drama. So for me, Show's getting a B plus. I am a Show fan and I'm saying it now and I'll welcome everyone else on board in 6 months when everyone else stops digging their heels in because he is hilarious. I think, so who's he got next? He's got Ishimori. No, I'm looking at the wrong thing. He's got Ace Austin, then Kanemaru, then Yo. And I do think he's going to be in the mix. Gun to my head, I think he's probably getting spoiled by Yo again. So, yeah, Andrew says top five Show comedy moments. I mean, how can I pick? I think we probably mentioned more than five in the course of that discussion.
Man, you're giving him a higher mark. I mean, listen, I laugh thinking about it. And I, yes, okay. I'll give you that. So you're telling me Sho is not only a comedy wrestler now, he's the best comedy wrestler on that roster right now.
Yeah, I think he is consistently funnier than Taguchi and Yano.
Wow. Now, 2 years ago, if these words came out of our mouths, we would be jumping off a bridge. But now look at us. My, how the tables have turned. How the turntables, as Michael Scott would say. All right, keep going.
Okay, let's talk about Clark Connors, who is on 6 points. I think he had a bit of a dodgy start to this tournament. Maybe he was trying too hard. Maybe he was a bit nervous. And he did the Taguchi bum shenanigans match, which didn't do much for me personally, although he did look like he was having a lot of fun for what it's worth. He does have a lovely bum. And, you know, maybe doing that match and getting the crowd laughing and enjoying themselves, maybe that helped loosen him up a bit. Jay Michael had a funny comment about this. He said, Ryusuke Taguchi accidentally discovering his protege, an American with an overzealous safari guide gimmick. But, I mean, everything for Clark, I think, clicked in the Akira match. I think Akira was the perfect opponent for him. He took all the big bumps for him. He set a high pace. He brought out all of Clark Connors' strengths. And then the Kanemaru match following that made him look more like the Clark Connors that we knew and loved in Strong. So I think he's just finding his feet. He's growing in confidence. So I give him a C plus, a C for Clark, and a plus for improving. His next few matches are Ishimori, Hiromu, and Zayn. I don't think he's going to be a factor going into the final night, but he is improving.
Yeah, I'm going to go C minus just because you can add him to the list of Strong dojo guys who have absolutely shitty gimmicks. I don't know how are these things getting past checks and balances? this is an odd thing. Like, honestly, Black Trunks, Clark Connors, would you ever in 100 years be like, that's what we're going to get? Outback Jack.
Right? Sexy rhinoceros man.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, what? I did not expect that at all. To be truthful, I just think it's, I don't know. I don't know why. Why do we need that? Like, what's the purpose of that? I don't understand. I might be anti-gimmick guy on this show, but Lord almighty. It just seems very peculiar to me. So C minus. Matches have been okay. Nothing spectacular. Nothing I would even go so far as to say great. Good. Decent. And not like he's holding his own. But and you're right. He has been improving each and every match.
Yoshinobu Kanemaru. He is on 4 points. And I think he's a guy who's low-key had a fantastic tournament. He has got a very clear role in this tournament, and he plays it to absolute perfection. He makes the people who need to look good look good. He was there to get over the new people, your Alex Zanes, your Ace Austins, your Francesco Acuras, and he occasionally looks like an absolute killer. Like when he went after Hiromu, just basically destroyed his knee. I mean, that was almost a squash match, and then outworking Taiji Ishimori again, as he does every year, and he always has done, and he's never lost to him, and no one will convince me otherwise.
No one saw it.
So I Kanemaru, I mean, in terms of playing his role to perfection, he gets an A minus from me. I always enjoy watching him, and you cannot have the best of the Super Juniors without Kanemaru. When he's not there, that year he was injured, you miss it, you feel it. So he has got Akira, Sho, and Taguchi next. And I don't think Kanemaru versus Taguchi on that final night is going to be one that is playing into the final standings. But he's a guy who knows his role and he's brilliant at it.
And refresh my memory. Then the show we just see, we had Mr. Connors getting a big win, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Put over Clark Connors. Clean as a whistle.
That's pretty cool. And I mean,
the context of that, this is coming off the back of him on Tuesday being Hiromu and right. Then on Wednesday being Ishimori. So he looks dangerous. This is a serious threat. And then Clark gets the win.
Yeah. I mean, that's saying something. Trust me. These guys, pro wrestlers will bitch and moan if they don't want to do something they don't want to do. And they're doing it, which I really find to be. Like, I know that the term being a professional has been tossed around in the past couple of weeks. That's a professional right there. That's a professional right there.
Yeah, Francesco Acura, he's got 4 points. He reminds me a bit of 2018 Robbie Eagles. You remember Robbie came in with the heel tag team Bullet Club thing with Ishimori, and he was just like a little ball of energy and flying around the ring and just was really impressive. So the same for Acura. I think fireball is exactly the right word for him. He's this blazing little ball of energy and intensity. I think he fits the New Japan Junior style brilliantly, so absolutely no questions about his in-ring ability. He's only going to get better because he's, what, 22, 23 years old? He knows how to make other people look good. I thought he made Clark look fantastic in the match that they had. He flew around the ring for him, took some big bumps for him. And I guess the main thing people are asking about how he fits in with United Empire, because some people are saying, yeah, they can see it. He's just like this kind of smug little prick. But I don't know. It could be an angle. It could be something going forward where maybe he's not winning enough and he gets booted out of United Empire. But I don't think that would happen for a while yet, because I still think he has junior tag business with TJP going forward. But he's putting these very earnest promos after defeat where he's like, I tried my best, guys, but it wasn't enough. I'm really disappointed. Which is, again, it's not very heelish, but it's very compelling to watch. So I'm enjoying Francesco Acura a lot. I'm giving him a B+. His next few matches are Kanemaru, Ishimori, and Ace Austin. So again, I don't think there's any danger of him winning the block, but he's been very good so far.
Yeah, I think B is a fair grade, and I think the criticism of him being a natural babyface is, yeah, I mean, he's not really been healing it up. And again, we don't need for him to turn the show, but yeah, I mean, I just think he's got. He does. You did make a good point with the Robbie Eagles analogy. I love that these guys are all just shining in decent spots, just to get people familiar and warm them up to the idea of them coming back. The juniors have gotten so much more interesting right now. I know I've said it before on the shows. It's unbelievable how this tournament has sparked new life into that fucking division.
And then last in A block, we've got Ryusuke Taguchi, who's got 2 points. He's already eliminated. I mean, for me, the bum shenanigans, they're a bit long in the tooth at this point. But I did say the show match was genuinely hilarious, so he played his part in that. Will we get to see serious Taguchi in this tournament? He's got Yo, Ace Austin, and Kanemaru left. So I wouldn't hold my breath for tap on the shoulder, big match Gooch to be making an appearance anytime for those three matches. So Taguchi gets a C- from me.
I mean, look, he is what he is. And on paper, it doesn't sound like you're going to get the big match to Gooch. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have it in him. And I'm sure that if he did get the tap on his shoulder, he would deliver. I'm going to be truthful. Like, he's been kind of unmemorable for me. So I'll go middle of the road. To be truthful, the one thing that I'm going to remember, again, the show match, I guess, yes, but also something that really didn't have anything to do with him per se, it was Chris Charlton yelling at the top of his lungs, he's getting his ass eaten. And Kevin Kelly trying to just persuade him to not use that phrase on the air.
He's a bit saucy, isn't he? And the Hiromu match when he's tasting the D.
Yeah, I know. He's working blue. Chris Charlton is working blue. Yeah, it was. He couldn't wait to say that. Like he was just salivating at the idea of screaming. He's eating his ass. What does he think this is? The Super J cast or something?
It's gimmick infringement.
Yeah, come on. God damn it. All right, so that takes care of that block, right? Now we're on to B, right?
B block. So at the top, we got El Desperado, who has 8 points. He has held up his end of the bargain as the star of the B block, and maybe even the star of the tournament. He's selfless. He's intelligent. He knows how to make other people look good. He made Lindemann look like a fucking superstar, and we're going to talk about Lindemann later. He's going to do the same for Doki on Saturday in their main event. And like I said before, this Best of the Super Juniors is the chance, the golden chance to solidify Despy into a legit star, a legit main event star as we go back into the cheering crowds, rather than just being, oh, he was the COVID era stopgap champion. He deserves it. Like, what more can you say about Despy? He's fantastic. So he gets an A from me. He's got three huge matches left. He's got main event against Doki, main event against Robbie Eagles, and then El Fantasmo on the final night. So I think the best is yet to come for him, which is a scary thought as well. He's still my pick to win the tournament. And again, just winning a star-studded tournament like this would entrench him as the absolute boss of this division, which he is.
If you, with a gun to your head, and again, without the finals being played out, does he get a sniff of Wrestler of the Year for you?
Yes.
I think he's in the conversation. Yep, I do. I think he's in the conversation. I think he's that good. That good and having that good of a year. Yeah, he does make everybody look good. And remember, this is coming off that craziness on that Tai Chi Taka Mania show that was just crazy in and of itself. He's a star. Here's the thing. The shame of it is that I don't know what else the fucking guy could do to have any doubters put him in a star category. Like, to me, he is the guy in the junior heavyweight division. And I love the fact, and as we talked about before, how Hiromu is taking a little bit of a backseat, you know, early in the tournament. I get it. But, I mean, just while he was out on injury, Hiromu, like, this guy, he was a shining light in a time when it was pretty fucking dark, right?
Yeah, we did not have much to get us excited during that, the dark days, the pandemic era, but he was one of the few guys where he sort of shone a light on everything, and a guy that we could get hyped about, a guy we could get excited about.
And that could have ended the minute that, okay, more fans are loud in, okay, they're clapping, and he has not dropped the ball. Like he has just kept going and going and going. I don't think there's any doubt. A for El Desperado.
Next person is El Fantasmo, who's also on 8 points. Whew. And I think he has found that perfect balance between being an annoying shithead who will occasionally cheat to win, but also being the guy, you know, deep down, he's a tremendously physically gifted athlete, a proud prize fighter. And, you know, he's going from these matches where he's, you know, he's accidentally unmasked Titan, and he's, you know, trying to steal what Doki used to beat him, and it didn't work, and he's playing possum to beat Lindemann, to that main event at Korakuen Hall against Robbie Eagles. And he nearly had that moment in the 2019 Super J Cup final when he was wrestling against Ryu Lee. And then there was some accidental blood. And I thought that could have been the moment where if he went serious, then he could have made himself into a star. But it wasn't. You know, this is what New Japan do. When someone is debuting a new heel gimmick, they do the same shit for like 2 years, the same cheating spots, the same interference spots, until you're absolutely sick of them, until they start doing something interesting. I don't know if that's the training wheels formula or whatever. But this match, this El Fantasma against Robbie Eagles, is the match we've all been waiting for. He was the perfect foil for Robbie. And I just love having them positioned together with these New Japan career rivals. You know, they've met before in Best of the Super Juniors, that, you know, the big angle of him leaving Bullet Club and Will Ospreay figuring into that. And they just brought the absolute best out of each other. That is my match of the tournament by far, in what I think has been a really good tournament. And I think it's in the conversation for match of the year. The length of it was perfect. It went like, I think it was 24, 25 minutes. And the fact that all the other matches had only been sort of hitting around 15 minutes made this one stand out and feel more epic. And that definitely helped. They nailed all the high spots. There were some incredibly dangerous, perfectly executed moves by him. And he just went into that extra gear that up until this point, you know, he was too much of a twat to bother with. And that's when you know that a match is special, when, you know, you could see it in his face. He had that fire in his eyes where he was just like, let's fucking go, you know, taking off the elbow pads and going toe-to-toe the elbows. And we knew he was capable of it. This is not a surprise to me, because I've been banging this drum for ages. But up to that point, his character arc had not necessitated that performance until now. The perfect moment for it. And of course, the Kenny Omega comparisons I've made will continue, just in terms of the trajectory. A guy who was a junior sort of mid-cards comedy act in Bullet Club, to now having, I think, better things in front of him as potentially moving up to heavyweight. Now, the thing is, he's 35 years old. Does he have enough time to become a heavyweight main eventer? I don't know. I hope so, because the company love him. He's a workhorse. He's loyal. I think if he achieves, you know, half of what Kenny Omega's achieved, it will be a tremendous career for him. So I'm really excited about what the future holds for him. So to give him a grade, I would give him a B plus. I mean, that match was fantastic. If all the matches had been like that, it would be an A plus. But I, you know, the fact that all the matches weren't like that made that match even more special.
Thank you.
And he's the dark horse for this tournament. I think maybe you might have said it before, but I think it's going to come. So let's look at what he's got left. He's got TJP, Wheeler Yuta, and then Despy. So you've got to circle that Despy match as the big one that's going to decide the block there. And Adam says, when will people be ready to realize that ELP is the best junior currently in New Japan? Dude is a workhorse, has insane amounts of charisma, does moves that no one else can while putting on a great story-driven matches when needed. So David, talk to us, please, about ELP.
Best heel. Best heel. I mean, look, he's going to give you those matches that you that might infuriate you. That's good, because you're right. When he delivers a piece of work like he did with Robbie, and let's throw some flowers Robbie's way too, because both those guys fucking they had a Cork and Hall main event. They had a Cork and Hall main event worthy of being in consideration of match of the year. That's high praise. I don't know how else we can say it. ELP, you're right, walks that fine line between the shithead and the great fucking wrestler. And besides that, he's quick-witted, he's funny, and he's able to annoy, but he's also able to deliver things like we just saw that have you on the edge of your fucking seat. That's a special kind of pro wrestler, right? Like, not there's not too many that can do what he does on a consistent basis. Now, I'm not saying the man's Okada. I'm not saying the man's Tanahashi. I'm not saying the, you know, what I'm saying is that you have arguably the future of, if not Bullet Club, a heel faction or a babyface faction for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, he's not going to be sticking around the juniors much longer. I can't say it. I just, there's so much you can do with him. It's unbelievable. Robbie Eagles. Talk about a guy who, in some cases, flies under the radar. In some cases, maybe doesn't get the notice or the buzz or what have you. Name me a bad Robbie Eagles match.
Yes, exactly what I got in my notes about Robbie Eagles. Like, again, what more can we say about him? Is there a more consistently high-level performer than Robbie Eagles? Because I'm not a guy that does star ratings, but what is the floor for a Robbie Eagles match?
Right.
Like, 3.5 stars? He just does not have bad matches. Like, nope. He's physically incapable of doing it. When Robbie Eagles goes out there and puts his boots on, you always get maximum effort, precision, technique, thoughtfulness. Joe was talking about this on the flagship last week. He's gone from being the new kid on the block in 2018 to being, he's one of the grizzled veterans of the division in the space of like 3 years. And he's out there giving so many people their best matches. He understands how to get the best out of people. Wheeler Yuta, Watto, TJP, the masterpiece that was his Phantasmo match where Robbie ended up looking like the biggest babyface star on the planet. Like, the crowd adore him. Like, it was that moment where I think if one person had started cheering, the whole building would have started cheering. They were just ready to burst because of Robbie Eagles and El Phantasmo. The fantastic babyface promo at the end. So, like, what an absolute gem Robbie Eagles is to this company. And a bloody nice bloke too. So, you know, if we're giving out grades for Robbie Eagles, he's getting an A from me. And he's on 6 points. He's got Lindemann, Despy, and T-Tan next. I could see him beating Lindemann and Despy, and it coming down to that final match against T-Tan. He's a contender for sure.
T-Tan has like 2 points, right? That's kind of surprising to me, but okay. Yeah, Robbie Eagles, I'm sorry, is maybe the most underrated guy in the juniors, if not the entire roster. Like, he's that fucking good. And again, name me a bad Robbie Eagles match. Like, if you are, I kind of think you're nitpicking things, because trust me, I haven't seen it. I really haven't seen it. And again, ELP, best New Japan match.
Oh, by far.
Right. Pretty good. Look, here's the thing. And this is not a disrespectful comment, or meant to be a disrespectful comment. We're talking about Robbie Eagles and ELP being in contention for match of the year. And we're not even talking about a finals. We're not talking about a semifinals. We're in the middle of a tournament. Main event, Cork and Hall, special. Don't get me wrong. But that's where we are with these juniors. Out fucking standing.
Right, let's talk about El Linderman, who's on 8 points. And I think, might surprise you, I think he edges it as tournament MVP so far. His wow. Energy, his enthusiasm, you know, not to mention his balls-to-the-wall wild man wrestling style, this little orange goblin zipping around and suplexing people out of their fucking shoes. He's got a fantastic crowd connection. He's working the crowd like a veteran. I thought the Despy match was outstanding. That is a very close second for me. And it was a real star-making performance. Like, after that match, I was thinking, this guy needs to be signed to a full-time contract. This is the next star of the division. And giving him that main event win over a top star like Despy in Corakwin Hall, that's not an accident. That is very, very meticulously done by design. And some of us laughed when he lost his opening match to Doki and we're like, oh, look, the Glade guy's getting jobbed. But this is what brought Linderman to the table. You know, they're saying, have a little taste of this. A little taste of being a legit star. It's right there in front of you, Linderman. You just have to reach out and take it. Stop fucking around with the SEMA traveling circus. Sign on the dotted line. You'll be a made man. That is what that main event told us. Now, we can see why New Japan play nice with other companies when they need to, but you can bet that, you know, this is just a little amuse-bouche of what El Linderman could be dining on if he wants to come to New Japan, because I think that door is open for him. So Linderman, I give him an A+. I think he's been brilliant. Looking at his next few matches, he's got Robbie Eagles, he's got Master Watto, and he's got Bushi. I think he's probably losing to Robbie Eagles, maybe Watto as well, and then beating Bushi, but I think he's going to be in the mix as well. But I have loved El Linderman in this tournament.
You've liked him more than me, but that's not to say that I haven't liked him. I don't know if I'm going full A. A solid B, absolutely. Here's the problem this company now has, though. There's no way that we're signing everybody that we could, right? Like, all these guys are not getting contracts. So I ask you, Joel, host of the award-winning number one New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast with countless listeners, countless, who gets cut? Who does not get a contract?
Who are we talking about here? Who's on the table as far as people angling for contracts?
Okay. I would take any of the imports from the U.S. I would take...
I'll give you three. Ace Austin, Alex Zane, and... Well, I think he may already be under contract. He's been working strong so regularly. I mean, we'll come on to TJP. I think Ace, Alex Zane, and Linderman all deserve one, quite frankly.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's three juniors that they're signing. Four if you're counting TJP. I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I mean, just because they did well doesn't mean they're getting contracts, right? Our wants aren't necessarily their desires, right? Let's put it this way. Do you think any of them get contracts?
I think they would have to do more than one good tournament to be offered a contract. Maybe they don't want one. You know, maybe they're happy working where they are.
Yeah, I mean, that it is a bit of a commitment to say that you're full time. But all right, you know, I don't. I just I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to get overly excited and be like, well, they should sign this guy and sign this guy and sign that guy and sign this guy. Probably not, but I would have no problems. I would have no problems if they did offer him a contract. But I think reality is none of them are going to get long-term contracts.
Yeah, probably
that's
accurate.
That's my prediction.
All right, let's speed it up a bit here. So Doki has got 6 points. He, a man who respects his wrestling history, from the little Attitude Era shout-outs to the finish of that ELP match, which I really, really loved. How great was that? Like that callback to the Liger Sasuke Super J-Cut spot. And look, I love Doki. I think he's great. I think he's actually improving without losing that wild, reckless edge that makes him so fun and compelling to watch. But my theory about him, his first Best of the Super Juniors in, was it 2019? He got 2 points. 2020, he got 4 points. 2021, he got 6 points. This year, he'll get 8 points. Every year he enters, he's going to get one more win than he did last time until he wins Best of the Super Juniors in like 2026. So that's my theory. So Doki, B+, his final few matches, he's got Despy main event. So circle that one. That's going to be crazy. Then he's got Titan and Watto. So probably winning one out of those three, but I think he's been really good so far. So B+ for Doki.
I would go B+ as well. And I would say circle those two matches, the Titan match and the Despy match. Those two will be fucking great.
Wheeler Yuta, I think we've seen, he's got 6 points as well. We've seen glimpses of what makes him special, little glimpses of that star quality. I think he's been good, but it's such a strong field this year that he's towards the bottom end in terms of performance. And again, that's not to say he's been bad. There's just been a lot of people who've been better than him. And, you know, he's a young guy. He will improve a lot. He's going to bulk up physically. He's probably going to be a heavyweight. So I think this tour is more about what he can learn from guys like Despy and Phantasmo and Eagles and TJP than him going out there and having bangers every night. And look, he's been very good in the spots that he's been given. I thought the main event against Despy was solid, and he's done well for a relatively inexperienced youngster. So I'll give him C+. His next few matches, he has got Watto, then ELP, then TJP. So he's probably hitting 8 points, maybe 10. Jacob says, now that we've seen what we've got with Wheeler Yuta in the tournament, do you think it's a disappointment that AEW sent him over some of their other guys like a Darby or a Kyle O'Reilly? No, I mean, I think the idea is for him to get some experience and learn from these guys, like I said.
Yeah, I agree. I would give him a B-. I just think back to like our preview shows and all that, and us talking about, man, how is he going to lose? I mean, he's a AEW star and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, lo and behold, yeah, he can lose. And truth be told, it might be a good thing. It probably is a good thing. But he's been fine. He's been good. I don't know if he's shined, but he's been good. He's been good given the fact that everyone kind of circled him and was maybe expecting bigger things.
Right, TJP, he has 6 points. Every roster needs a TJP. And again, you don't have to like the man, but anyone who's out there denying that he's a quality wrestler is fooling themselves. He's been really fucking good. He is smooth. He's technically perfect, honestly. He knows how to lay out a quality match to make other people look good. Just a savvy veteran who's going to be, I think, really valuable to New Japan, both in Japan and in the US. And he's unlikely to be winning any big titles, but he's just a great wrestler to have around. I thought the Titan and the Eagles matches were both excellent. So TJP's getting an A- from me. He's got ELP and then Bushi and then Yuta on the final night. I'm not sure if he's going to be in the mix. I mean, maybe Wheeler Yuta spoils him on the final day, but I think he's been really good, TJP.
That's some sexy three matches. I think he's been very good. I know that it's fun to hate on him, and in some cases, rightfully so.
Yeah, he leans into that.
But yeah, he's so fucking talented, it hurts. And there's nothing. And here's what else I'll say. There's nothing wrong with saying that and acknowledging it. He is fucking good. And he's been an asset to not only this tournament, but Strong. And he's 2-for-2. I'm ready for 3-for-3.
Bushi has 6 points. I think he's stepped up this tournament. He's read the room. He knows what's up. He knows that if he phones it in, he's going to stick out like a sore thumb, and he's working really hard. And, you know, him working really hard might not yield the most spectacular results, but I think that's about all we can ask for. So a B for Bushi.
It worked out perfectly. I think if I'm in a good mood and very generous, I would give him a B. He's worked hard. He's tried. And you're right. He's tried to keep up with the competition. And I think he has for the most part. But for me, like, he's one of them, like, he's the least interesting guy in B block for me. I've seen enough of him to kind of form an opinion to be like, I would have no problem not seeing Bushi in this tournament again.
Master Watto, he has 4 points. One of the things I've enjoyed the most is him getting fucking buried by the commentary team every night, calling him an idiot and always missing the RPP that he does. I'd put him in the same bracket as Yuta. He's been good. He hasn't fucked anything up in a serious way to derail any of his matches. I thought the Eagles and the Despy matches were very good. And he's always most impressive against guys that he's wrestled plenty of times before. He finds it more challenging against newer opponents, which is understandable. But I think he's been fine. I'll give him a B-. Michael says, can Damon give Master Watto an apology? He's been pretty solid, honestly.
Nope. And I'll tell you why. He's been okay. He hasn't killed anybody in the fucking ring yet. Congratulations. But he has really... And again, maybe it's... I wanted to say maybe it was because, you know, he's working with a guy that is a different style in Teton. But did you watch that Teton match? Like, that felt very clunky. Like, it felt very disjointed.
Yes, agreed. That was probably, if I had to say one match was bad in this tournament, that one, I was just like, oh, this one kind of sucks.
Right. Thank you. And again, he spent a lot of time in Mexico. Correct me if I'm wrong. You would think that he would have some familiarity. It doesn't. Like, it just, everything just feels like it's a fucking struggle. He's just, I don't know. Not that he's lost, but he's just not. Like, seriously. If you have any doubts, fucking compare him to Robbie Eagles. Right? Like, there's no comparison. Like, Master Watto looks like a fucking engine without any oil. Like, it's just fucking clunky. Like, it's fucking slipping gears. I don't know. Boy, I don't know. I mean, I appreciate that a lot of other people have more patience than I do with him. But come on. What the fuck are we doing here?
Okay, Titan, he's got 2 points. I think if we had an unsung award, Titan would get it. He's only got 2 points, but I think he's been fantastic. He's worked his socks off. He's fluid enough to mesh his style well with others, apart from Master Watto. He makes all his opponents look like $1 million, apart from Master Watto. I think it's a shame he's got such a low score, because I think he deserves more love. I thought the ELP match was like prime Fantastic-a-mania. The TJP match was excellent. I think he's the kind of guy, if you take him out of Best of the Super Juniors, then the quality noticeably dips. He's that good. Like, you might not notice him because he's propping everything up. He's a load-bearing wrestler, so I'd give him a B-plus for T-Tad.
B plus is a good grade. B plus. I am surprised with the point total. I mean, it's kind of amazing that you're bringing a guy over to give him 2 points. But you're right. He is a guy that makes others much better. In ring, he's been very good. And the quality of matches shows. So, I mean, here's the thing. I wouldn't read too much into 2 points. Right, I wouldn't read too much into it. Like, New Japan is not happy or whatever case. Somebody's got to fucking lose, right?
He's got Bushi and Doki in his next two matches as well. So, right. Yeah, he's going to get more.
There you go.
All right, so overall thoughts. I love this tournament. It's fresh. It's exciting. I mean, you said it before. Think how stale this division felt earlier in the year. And now we've got new stars lining up around the block to be the guy to take that ball and run with it. You know, Ace Austin, Alex Zane, El Linderman, the younger guys like Yuta, Akira, and Clark, who they're going to get better. We've got the mainstays, the people who've stepped their game up, you know, Eagles, Phantasma. I mean, the future for this division is looking so bright. You know, if I put the gun to your head now and said pick the junior title program for Wrestle Kingdom, how's that looking? I mean, it'd be pretty hard to choose for me. And it's a great dilemma for New Japan to have. Best of the Super Juniors, pants down for me. So a few questions here. Hayden says, now that we're winding down towards the end, who do you think is winning each block? So who's making it through to the final? Damon.
You think the miraculous recovery for Hiromu is in place? I kind of do.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so now we got B Block.
I think they play it safe. I just think we're doing Hiromu Despy again, but in front of a crowd that can cheer in Budokan, that could be special. I know we've seen it before, but in front of a cheering crowd, they're going to make a lot of noise for that.
I'm sticking to my guns and going with that, yeah.
Okay, let me just do the strong coverage then. So let me get the results out. Who really cares about the results?
I mean, listen, watch the fucking show, right? It's, yeah, right.
Okay, no, I've got it here. So it's Chris Dickinson and Narita went to a 15-minute draw. I mean, in terms of coverage of Chris Dickinson, I said I'm not particularly interested in watching him as a wrestler anymore. That's just a personal choice. So I will just sort of talk about it in terms of his opponents. So I thought, you know, there's nothing new we can learn about Ren Narita in Strong at this point. If we want to see what we've got, then we get him back to Japan. I think he'll be back this year. So I'm just watching this match, looking for clues to see how he connects with the crowds, you know, layout of matches, see where he might be placed when he returns. Because this guy, he's an ass kicker, but he's also good at generating that babyface heat from underneath. So probably Hontai if we're talking factions, but very good performance from Ren Narita here. Then we had a six-man tag match. We had Taylor Ross, Brody King, Mascara Dorada against Eric Hanare, Great Okan, and TJP. I can't remember anything about this match. I'm sure it was good. Oh, no, here we go. So I think the Brody King against Great Okan exchanges were really good. I think New Japan don't really have a guy like Brody King since Fale has been downcycled. So I think there's a fairly good chance we get Brody King in the G1. I think he'd be something different. I'm not saying he's like one of the 20 best wrestlers on the planet, but in terms of variety, he'd be a good choice. And he's not the greatest work rate guy or anything, but again, he'd be something different. And Great Okan cutting a promo in front of a noisy crowd was great. Also good to see United Empire looking like more of a excuse upon United stable, because we don't often get to see guys like Hanare, TJP, and Okan in the ring. They're not in the upper echelons of the faction, but I think it's important to see them wrestling together to solidify that feeling of being a team. And then we also had Clark Connors and Carl Fredericks beating Aaron Solo and Nick Comorato. I like this feud with the Factory and the LA Dojo Alliance. And it's given the LA Dojo lads a taste of US TV. There was a match on AEW, a 10-man tag, which was really good, which I would recommend you checking out. You can see it on YouTube. So to me, it's proof of concept for this partnership being mutually beneficial, where, you know, a guy like Wheeler Yuta can go to Best of the Super Juniors and grow there, and then the LA Dojo guys can go and have this sort of lower card feud with the Factory and get on some AEW TV and look good on that. So I think the Factory are a good foil for their, you know, the babyface energy that they can generate from their opponents, you know, the size of Comoroto, the fact that QT Marshall looks like Alex Jones. It's all good stuff. So I'm really a fan of that. Yeah. All right, so I need to go to work. So before we get out of here, I will answer Antonio's question. Okay, so Antonio, first question is this. Do you guys think there is corruption in the company happening between this Kikuchi guy and Dick Togo and Abari to abuse power and screw somebody who isn't part scheme, plus which resulted in Ibushi's mother almost suiciding because of it? This kind of relates this, which it was reported Nosawa Rongai left Noah as booking and brought the Peros stable with him to Dragon Gate, only to later return to Noah. Question is, you guys know it was announced that Dick Togo was going to return to DDT, then main event of Dontaku House of Torture, didn't appear at main event where other Bullet Club members did, so he's bringing the whole House of Torture group to DDT like Nosawa, or he's going to DDT by himself? Just this time answer my question. No jokes, please. Already explained above why. Please this time answer my question. No, like this media has been this or that. Just because we're talking about very serious subject, I want your scoops and thoughts about it, not ignoring or joking by act. If this never exists, a question below again, please. No jokes this time. Off nonsense plus there. An update to the question which Ibushi's mother almost suicided because of the situation. So, you know, no jokes or stuff like you did before of that kind. Well, Antonio. All right, so that's all we got time for this week, Damon. redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast if you want to throw some money our way. Antonio, you can do that. Discord link you can join if you would like to by sending me a direct message on Twitter at Cobra Kawaii and progressingtees.com/superjcast for our t-shirts. Big thank you to editor Dan. Find him on Twitter at lousyhero219. And the new single from Escape the Box, Soul Ties, which we will be sharing on the Twitter soon. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at the Super J Cast. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and goodbye.